you so much, Steve Bertrand. Hello, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. Call us, text us, stop by. We're at 312-981-7200. Wendy, our friend Steve Bertrand is back.
I know. I missed you yesterday, and I got false information because I said, where is Bertrand? And I was told that he took part in the newsroom illness.
Oh.
But he said he just had an appointment.
Yeah, that's all. I already talked to Steve. He's
gone. He left for the day. Right. Back for one report and right. Out the door.
It knocks a guy out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does. It knocks a guy out. Did you by any chance, Wendy, happen to see The Little Mermaid live last night on television? Did
no,
you watch any of that?
I don't like princesses.
Oh,
or
Lord,
anything.
I did.
Wait, let's...
No, I, come
what
on,
I
move
just
past
saw there,
that.
What I just saw there was the complete opposite in two human beings.
I don't care about The Little Mermaid or princesses.
You don't like Ariel? You don't like
yeah,
her?
Yeah, she's all right.
You don't like
that
Ursula?
Movie I have seen.
Yeah.
Because, the cartoon.
Because Julie Andrews isn't in it.
No,
that's your criteria for watching any movie. I see you calling movie phone. Yes, what is playing at my local cinema? Is Julie Andrews featured in that movie? Okay, I will be by then.
That's not true. This didn't excite me. I thought this was like a stupid thing to do.
Oh, Mary, you watched it?
Okay, you know, the only reason I watched it, I wanted to see what John Stamos was going to pull off. And,
yeah.
Oh, it was not good. I mean, it was
surprisingly, he's not that great of an actor,
no,
is he?
Well, he was supposed to kind of sing. So he sang, talked his way into the chef part, which I don't even remember there being a chef in the show. But I guess in the musical, there is or whatever. But it was too much of the movie. They showed the movie too much, and then they sang a lot of parts live.
Right.
They showed snippets of the movie?
Oh,
not just snippets, long scenes. But then when it would come to a song, they would perform the song live.
Yes.
And was it at the Hollywood Bowl, Mary? I can't remember.
It was
somewhere
in a Disney-associated theater. Somewhere.
It was stunning.
Oh, I mean, that was stunning. The parts they did live.
It looked like you were underwater.
Yeah. It was
The way they did the set.
You watched
And
it?
They had the mermaids floating all over the place.
Yeah.
And that was cool. But
were they topless mermaids? Is that why you were watching?
Teeny things on.
I'm not sure Disney would sign off on a program
you
just described.
I might have watched it.
But it looked like you were underwater because of the way that they staged it and the lighting. And then there was a giant screen in the back that always had bubbles. And then they were shooting bubbles around the theater.
Right, that's
so
pretty cool.
It really looked like it was done underwater.
630 says, yes, I saw it. It was just the stinking movie. And that's what I've been hearing from people that I didn't know they actually showed the movie.
Three quarters of the movie, I swear.
They were very secretive about that part prior to you seeing the presentation. Like in all the ads for it, they didn't really let on that it was going to just mostly be the animated version with the production numbers done live. I don't know why they didn't do the whole show live. You know, you got the sets, you got the costumes, the actors, it's all right there. Just do the whole show, you would think.
What was the last one they did? The last live thing they did? That wasn't Jesus Christ Superstar, was it?
No.
That one was unbelievable. That
yeah,
was
with John Legend.
Good.
That was pretty fantastic.
Last year they did Grease.
Oh, yeah.
They did Rent.
Did they show the Grease movie during the thing?
No.
See, that's what...
No.
Somebody said, 815 says, watched until Queen Latifah finished and then changed the channel. She was great. The rest was awful.
Yeah. Mm.
What is she the queen of?
Well, that's just her name.
Oh.
She's not officially a queen. I don't think.
Somebody watched it, thought it was pretty good?
Yeah.
Just the scenic stuff. It was, that was good.
Yeah.
The rest was just, I don't know. I can't believe I wasted like 2 hours of my life watching the whole thing.
Well,
I owed it to my daughter because we grew up watching it, and I knew she was watching it at her house, too. So that's why I did it.
That's sweet, even though I rolled my eyes.
Mary, I used the same excuse for my daughters because they watched it all the time when they were little. And even though neither of them were home watching it with me, I forced Terry to watch most of it with me. It was still a tribute to my kids.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Do we want to take a phone call on
this?
312-981-7200. Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hi, who is this?
This is Grandma TT.
Grandma
TT.
Did you watch Little Mermaid last night, Grandma TT?
I have to tell you, honey, I honestly recorded it, and I have to tell you what.
Can you take us off the speakerphone?
Oh, shoot, I'm on my Alexa.
You're on your Alexa.
Well, get off, she can't breathe.
Yeah, I can't.
Sit in the penalty box for 2 minutes.
I don't know how to get off of Alexa. I don't. But anyway, just real quick.
Yes.
Wendy, you're cursed. You're going to have grandbabies. Because now that you've said that, you are going to have grandbabies, and they're all going to be girls, and you're going to have to sit through every mermaid princess Barbie that was ever made.
Barbie? More like Barfy, am I right? No, I'm kidding. I look forward to it. Actually, if that's how I am introduced to it, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. We, you know, with I'm into three great-grandkids right now, but my grandkids growing up, there wasn't one who let the dogs out. You know how long ago that was? Who let the dogs out? Every single cartoon movie that ever existed, if I was ever reimbursed money, I would have $1 million and retire with seven grandchildren. You see them all. You watch them all. But, you know, I laid in bed with all of them and watched them. I, you know, cradled babies in my arms while the three-year-olds watched them. Your life will be watching these cartoons.
I'm okay with that. Life. I hope I'm a grandma someday. Not too soon, though.
No, not too soon. Not too soon. I'm telling you. Because once they come, it seems like they never stop.
Well, Grandma TT, we got to let you go because this is kind of a bad connection, but we so thank you for checking in. We haven't talked to you in a while.
I know. Love you guys. You know, I love you, love you, love you. Have a good day. Bye.
You
thank
too.
Thank you, GTT.
Alexa, hang up on Grandma TT.
I do have to say some of my fondest memories of my daughters growing up was exactly that. There'd be certain Disney movies that they would glom onto, and you couldn't watch it once and you couldn't watch it twice. It seemed like it was on an endless loop where no matter what time of the day or night you were in the living room, that same Disney movie was on. We would watch it over and over and over and over, and they would memorize it.
Yeah.
And then on some of them, later on when we got a DVD player, you know, they have the bonus tracks where they tell you, the director tells you little secrets and stuff like that. So my daughters knew like all this inside stuff. You know, whatever movie would come on, they would tell me, you know, who the illustrator was. And I went, how do you know that? You're two. That's incredible. You know all that.
I don't think there was a movie. I know we watched a lot of SpongeBob together, boys and I. Thomas the Tank Engine was huge for Michael.
Yeah.
And George Carlin was one of the conductors.
Oh, right.
And Ringo Starr. So,
right.
I mean, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And really, the only movie I watched over and over with them when they were younger was Pulp Fiction. That was really it.
That's a good choice. All right, let's take a break and think about what we've done, and we'll come back and do more show for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Being at Tree Time in Lake Baddington really gets you in the holiday spirit. Each and every year, we cannot wait to create the magic in our homes, and it all starts with a trip to Tree Time Christmas Creations.
Their showroom is incredible, Wendy, with over 200 of the most realistic-looking Christmas trees that you've ever seen, all finely crafted by top designers, and they last for many, many years, all at factory direct prices, too.
We're always so anxious to see the new innovations in lighting, plus the latest trends in ornaments and tree trimming to add to our collection. You can never have too many cool Christmas decorations. And if you'd like some inspiration, you can join Tree Time's top designer, Cassie Nicholas, for a free decorating class on how to style your mantle or buffet for Christmas at Tree Time this Saturday, November 9th at 2 p.m.
Make it a family outing. Tree Time has a man cave for dads, hot chocolate and cookies for your kids. Don't wait, though. Limited quantities do sell out, and they sell out fast. So stop in now for the best selection. That's Tree Time on Pepper Road off Northwest Highway in Lake Barrington. You can also visit treetime.com.
Everything Christmas, treetime.com.
That's a new jingle.
Yeah.
It's a jingly jingle.
It's a very jingly jingle.
I'm ready for Christmas. Bring it on. I'm putting my tree up this weekend.
Are you really? Or are you kidding? You're kidding, right?
Yeah, I don't know. We have a bunch of different trees. I may put my anniversary tree up this year. That goes in the front room.
Yes.
And I am hosting Thanksgiving. And since Thanksgiving's late, I really may put it up.
The tree that always intrigues me, Wendy, and you've described this before, and it makes me feel warm inside, is your bathroom tree. That's the one that seems to be the most majestic.
Do you realize you take everything I say and elaborate on it so intensely, like my hatred for Julie Andrews, which is not there?
It's a misunderstanding more than a hatred.
The toilet tree is a paper tree, right?
Yes.
No, but that's a good idea. I should just make a tree out of toilet paper rolls.
That would look stunning.
It's just a little tiny toilet top tree that's silver, And I just put it in there.
Right.
And the fine people at Tree Time
yeah.
gave, you know, that little piece of thing emoji that you have on your phone,
oh,
the little
yeah,
poop
yeah, yeah.
emoji.
Yeah, yeah.
They gave me an ornament to
yeah.
put.
Yep, nothing says Christmas like that.
Well, Mr. Hanky from South Park, I have that too. Some listener made it for me and sent it to me.
Are there ornaments on
no,
your bathroom?
It's just
no
a silver
ornament?
Tree with yeah. a little tree skirt,
yeah.
which I technically used a napkin, you know, yeah. a cloth napkin.
And do you hike the tree skirt up in keeping with the room that you're keeping it in or not? How does that play out?
Done with you. It's you're taking 10, me out of the
It's only 10:19.
I know.
You can't be done until 1 o'clock.
There's a little sign says, please close the tree when you're finished.
You have to understand, for many of us, Wendy, we don't have bathroom Christmas trees, so it's foreign territory
you're
to
missing
us.
Missing out.
We're learning.
Right.
It's a learning experience is what it is.
It's just a little tiny tree.
I
you
know.
Don't put decorations in your bathroom.
Focus when you jingle.
Steve, I don't know if he can see Wendy, but if you
aren't
thought
you sick again,
if you thought
don't you
that,
have to go home,
Steve, if you thought the Popeye's chicken was spicy, you should see Wendy's face right now.
By the way, I had a Popeye's chicken sandwich again last night. I want it to be known that I had the Popeye's chicken sandwich before there was all the hoopla and
yes,
shortage.
Yes,
they had a soft launch sometime in August.
Yeah,
the boys and I tried it. We got the spicy one. Really a fantastic chicken sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday was the return of this Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Right.
There were lines of plenty. I know Super Joe on Cochran's show was saying that he tried to get to his sandwich and there were lines like crazy and they sold out of them.
Yeah.
I just pulled up yesterday. I will tell you, I did go at about 4 o'clock because I thought that would...
Off-peak hours.
Yes.
Very smart move.
Not dinner.
Very smart
not
move.
Lunch.
Right in the middle.
I was
very
maybe
smart.
5 or 6 cars back in the drive-thru.
That's not bad.
Placed my order. Got some red beans and rice on the side because I like that.
Yeah.
And the only complaint I have is I ordered 4 spicy chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that there was a little sticker that said spicy, I think someone bagged a regular one into the spicy packaging.
Because
I had it before. Popeye's chicken, if you get the spicy, it's not too out of control.
Right.
But there is some heat. This one didn't have a lot of
heatless.
Heat. But it was still delicious.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's very interesting. Last night, I watched The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, and here's something that's hard to tackle on television. We talked about the violence that came about in Maryland, where a guy stabbed another guy, stabbed him to death.
For cutting in line.
For cutting in line for this Popeye's chicken sandwich. So yesterday, they did a couple of jokes about the Popeye's chicken sandwich, including the fact that people are stabbing each other to get it. But they kept leaving out the fact that a guy died.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like material you should be using.
I have a feeling as they were writing these jokes, they were saying, you know, we can do these, but the only way we could possibly sell this on television is by not mentioning that a guy died. So you got two different versions of the story. They showed a local news report and then somebody else reiterated it later. But in both of them, they stopped it at a guy got stabbed. They did not carry on, you know, to the full extent of the story that a guy actually died, because it's very hard to sell a joke when there's a guy who died as a result.
But here's the problem with that. We all know.
Right. I know.
So it didn't need to be mentioned.
I know.
We know. And that's in poor taste.
Yeah.
That's too spicy.
Yep. All right. We can't do this yet because the audio is still being cut.
I don't like this.
But
you have a heart of black.
Over the last couple of years, the one thing that I think you and I are most divided on is a segment that Jimmy Kimmel does right after Halloween every year, where he shows parents, I think it's called the Halloween Candy Challenge. And what happens is, this is the 9th year, by the way, he's done this, 9th year in a row. He shows video of adults explaining to their children that overnight, after the kids have already gone trick-or-treating and amassed a huge bag or pumpkin filled with candy, that the parents have eaten all the child's Halloween candy. They haven't really done it. It's just a joke that the parents play on the kids and then they videotape it and they send it in. But I can't think of anything that you and I are more divided on than the merits of this bit.
Listen, I am all about teasing your kid. And it's fun to do, I'm sorry,
yes.
when they're little. But this is devastating. I know it's stupid, but it's a kid and it's candy. It's an innocent thing that shouldn't be toyed with.
Right. I agree with you. I can't figure out why I find it so amusing.
You're usually, you know, on the side of the kid.
I'm almost always on the side of the kid. I have no idea why I find this so amusing. I think it's because it's so wrong. You know what I mean? It's not even borderline wrong. As I've pointed out in the past, it's little kids being betrayed by the people they trust the most in the world, their parents. It's not like strangers are messing with these kids. It's their own moms and dads playing the ultimate trick on them.
And that's the evil. I mean,
exactly.
The parents who do this, I right. don't understand. That's what I don't understand.
Because everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame.
Wendy, that's exactly what this
so
is.
So use your kid to do it. You know what? Do something stupid on your own and make it go viral.
All right, let's do this. I have two different audio clips. One is a follow-up that they did yesterday where Jimmy Kimmel said, of all the ones we did this year, this one is my favorite. It's a little boy and a little girl who, as I've pointed out, all their Halloween candy has been taken by their parents. Not really, just for the purpose of the joke. So, Ashley, play the shorter of the two. Play the one that's just the boy and the girl. And then if we have time, we'll play more later. But this is just a little bit. This is a longer clip of just this boy and girl and how they deal with the fact that their parents have stolen their Halloween candy.
Well, you guys were at school?
No.
I ate all your Halloween candy.
Why?
Why?
I was really hungry.
Okay, Mama, I have a prize for you.
Can we look at our trick-or-treating buckets? Can we have a trick-or-treating
Here's your buckets. I ate all your candy. I'm sorry.
You have a cavity now?
I ate it all.
Mommy, you have a cavity now?
No.
I'm counting on you, Willie.
That's not fair.
Juliana.
That's so rude of you. Tomorrow I'm going to eat your stuff. For real. And I'm not going to give you no goodies. Just Poppy. That's so rude of you.
I was really hungry.
Well, you gotta eat some vegetables, not candy. Go. Now.
All right, you can cut it. I just want to point something out.
This is set up.
No, it's not set up.
This has changed into a setup.
It's not set up. It can't be set up. Here's what's surprising about that particular clip. And as Jimmy Kimmel pointed out, this was his favorite segment of it. It's a boy and a girl. The boy seems to be about 3 or maybe 4. The girl seems to be about 6, right? You would almost think, and I know this sounds stereotypical, but it's not, believe me. You would almost think that it would be the girl that has some reasoning ability and that the boy would just go completely nuts, just going, how can anyone do this? But it's the exact opposite. The boy keeps trying to reason out how somebody he loves and trusts could do this to them, while the girl is just throwing the pumpkin, kicking the pumpkin. She's just going ballistic. And the boy is trying to reason, why would you do this to us?
Listening to it, and I didn't see it. I saw it over your shoulder this morning in the office as you were watching it and laughing.
Yes.
It just seems so set up to me now. These were innocent little kids before. This kid saying, are you going to get a cavity?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like this is...
I don't think so.
Set up.
There's too much rage in this little girl. Like if you said to your kid, pretend you're angry, you'd get a little sense of that kid pretending they were angry.
No, I think the little girl was for reals, but
not the boy.
I think she might have said, it just seemed, it doesn't seem genuine to me. I know kids say the darndest things, believe me.
Watch it though. Maybe the audio doesn't sell it. When you see it, you see these kids, their faces go from, oh, here's mom or dad sharing something with me, to the second that they learn that their candy has been taken, they turn very quickly.
This one sounds suspect to me.
Too suspect? All right, we must take a break. We'll come back. We have a full show. If we have time later on, I'll play you more of the little shorter clips from Jimmy Kimmel, and you can get mad. I know that this angers
you. I don't get mad. I don't know how parents can do this to their kids.
I don't either.
And
I could
also,
never do this to my kids.
You weren't here on Monday. Eric Zorn paid a visit, and Dane Neal was sitting in your chair, and Eric was talking about the term snowflake, and I said, I hate that word. I just don't like it. If someone cares about something, they shouldn't be called a snowflake about it.
Right.
This is why kids feel like they're abused by getting their candies taken away. This is bad. And the kid isn't a snowflake because their parents stole their candy.
No, it's a
like
natural
they've
reaction.
Been wronged.
I know that. All right, we will take a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a lot more show ahead. This is Bill Left. That's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN.
There are some listeners who agree with me and agree with you.
I bet there's more listeners that agree with you than me.
Well, 224, the Kimmel candy prank is funny. 219, I agree with Wendy, but I do laugh at kids failing on YouTube. So they don't laugh at that, but they laugh at kids failing on YouTube.
Every year when I watch this, Wendy, and I've said this before, I can't figure out why this makes me laugh so hard, because at the essence, at the very root of this, it's just cruel. It's so cruel. Imagine being betrayed by the person you love and trust the most on the planet, especially on a day that means so much to you. You look forward to Halloween all year long. It finally comes. You do what you're supposed to do. You go door to door and get your candy, only to have it taken by the person you love the most. That is the definition of cruel.
I want you guys to ask John Duffy about that.
We did
last year.
Yeah. Okay.
He thought it was very funny.
Really?
He also said it was very mean.
He did.
And he was not for it, but he admitted to laughing. Right. He did not say he was a fan of it.
Right.
708, I agree with you 100%, Wendy. You got to be a real a-hole to do something like that to your kids. It's just mean, and why would you do that to your children? And it's really not funny.
Well, you nailed it. It's so that your child and you can be on TV for a couple of seconds.
And Wendy, I agree, so staged. Another one, the boy was coached. Kids don't talk that way. Eat a basketball, Bill, and think about it. It's 10:30 and right. News time right now on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. I have to tell you, if you ever get pulled over by a police officer, I can't explain that sinking feeling
sure.
you get, even if you know you've done nothing wrong. And I get very nervous, and I'm always very polite because I don't want things to escalate. Obviously, in the news, there have been things that have escalated. There are great cops out there. I would say the majority of them are great, but there are a few bad seeds who give police officers a bad name. There is a new study that's going on right now, and on the line with a senior research associate at the Urban Institute, Daniel Lawrence joins us. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
There is a study that has been conducted about, maybe you could explain it better, but how body cameras will give us a peek into how people react. Explain this.
Sure. So the Urban Institute recently conducted a study with primarily with the Milwaukee Police Department, and we evaluated their use of 1,100 cameras that were being rolled out and found numerous findings that are similar to other studies across the country. Mainly, we found that officers, the body-worn cameras didn't affect the amount of use of force incidents that officers had. But what did change was the amount of citizen complaints went down by roughly 50% for officers with body-worn cameras.
Okay, that's pretty interesting, because I know it's a he said, she said kind of thing. And with the proof with these body cameras, do you think, I don't know, I know I'd be on my best behavior thinking that something could be captured. What do you attribute this to?
Well, it's hard to say in terms of the decrease to the citizen complaints. While the reduction is really promising, it's worth emphasizing that it's not clear if the complaints were reduced because of this civilizing effect, which is when, because of the presence of a body-worn camera, both the officer and the community member are going to be more civilized to each other. But another aspect is that community members may just be more reluctant to lodge a complaint against an officer when there's actual footage of the interaction.
That's true.
Was the goal of the study, Daniel, to determine just that, to see if it would alter the police officer's actions in any given situation? Was that the original goal?
We looked at a number of things. We also did community surveys across the city in three waves. We looked at the officers' proactive activities, so the self-initiated activities when they're not responding to 911 calls. And the interesting thing we found there was that officers overall didn't change the amount of proactive activities, but they actually changed the makeup of those types of activities. So we found that there was an 8% decrease in the amount of subject stops that officers conducted, but there was also a 23% increase in the number of parks and walks. And what these results really suggest is that after receiving a body-worn camera, officers might be more hesitant to engage in activities that could result in a negative interaction with the public, because nobody wants to be stopped by the police unwillingly. But on the other hand, officers are potentially replacing those types of negative encounters with more positive community-oriented ones when they do a park and walk and just walk around neighborhoods.
Now, what is the how do the community members feel about body cameras? I personally think it's a great thing. I would like to figure out the truth behind these things. What are some of the community members thinking about it? Positive, negative?
Across the country, positive. They see this as a new method to hold officers accountable for negative behaviors. The Urban Institute conducted three waves of surveys with Milwaukee residents, and interestingly, we found when the body-worn camera was first initiated, only a third of the community actually knew that the officers were getting cameras. About 2 years later, that increased to about 80%. But we ask questions like, will body-worn cameras improve the relationship between police and community members? And across the entire city, around 8 out of 10 people felt that way. But there are large differences across different types of communities. So African-American respondents, that was only around 70%. And African-Americans also felt that they were officers were much more likely to treat them without dignity and respect. So the full sample felt 6 out of 10 people felt that way, but for African Americans, it was only down to about a third.
Daniel, are the rules for body cams pretty universal throughout the United States, like in terms of when the cameras are on and when they're not on and whether audio is used or not used? Is it kind of uniform everywhere, or does it vary?
It varies quite substantially, and the Urban Institute actually has a legislation tracker online on urban.org to look at the state laws that affect the policies of body-worn cameras. But what we found is that body-worn cameras, most people don't realize this, but there's a 30-second buffering period. So when an officer turns the camera on, it actually goes back in video for the prior 30 seconds. It doesn't collect sound during that period, but it collects the video. And then once the 30 seconds is up, that's when it's a full camera with video and sound. And in terms of discretion of the officers, we found that across many departments, it's to varying degrees for specific instances, but the common policy is that during a face-to-face interaction with a community member, the camera is meant to be on.
What if they forget to turn it on? Is there any kind of punishment or fine if they forget to do it, or do they just go, oh, well, I forgot?
Yeah, that's something that's certainly happening. You especially see this with older officers who are more used to non-technological tools on their tool belts. But the accountability is internal. So one of the things that departments are currently struggling with is giving the cameras to officers is one thing, but having the officers actually use the cameras is another thing. So vendors need to start implementing software where supervisors can clearly identify and assess officers' use of the cameras. And that's critical to the program's implementation and its success with community members.
How long do they keep the information that is taken off these body cams? Do they keep it for a day, a week, a month, a year?
Forever.
Forever?
Yeah. Again, that is based on the department's policy, and some state laws have an effect on that too. What we commonly see is that officers can mark a video, they can tag it as evidentiary, having evidentiary value. So if that's the case, if they're doing a criminal investigation and they say this video is going to be important to the case, they can tag it and that can stay with the case permanently. So that video is not going away. But other aspects where they just respond to, say a community member comes up to them and just asks for directions, they turn the camera on because it's a face-to-face interaction, they turn it on, but then there's nothing substantial that comes out of that, they would leave it untagged, and depending on the department's policy, that might automatically be deleted 90 days, 120 days. Some departments have six-month policies, so it changes depending on the department.
Daniel, do all courts allow these body cam tapes as evidence, or are there some that reject it?
Most of them include it. So it depends on what the DA's office wants to include in their case. We've learned through other research that a lot of DA's offices are being overwhelmed by the amount of footage that they now have to go through and determine whether or not it's useful to their case, and they also have to share that with the defense if it's included. So a lot of DA's offices are getting this large amount of body-worn camera footage and having to sort through it and organize it in new ways that are really straining their systems.
Daniel Lawrence on the line with us, Senior Research Associate at the Urban Institute. We're talking about how police officers who wear body cams are affecting police behavior and community relations across the country. Now, this study you mentioned today, where did this take place again? Did you say Milwaukee?
Yes, this was in Milwaukee, and they deployed over 1,100 cameras from 2015 to 2016, which was a very large and fast deployment. Other agencies across the country, Washington, D.C. had a 2,000-camera deployment. Las Vegas also had a pretty large one. But in terms of a research study, we had we did the 1,100-camera assessment, but we also had a randomized control trial with 500 officers, which is the gold standard in research.
Has anyone done Chicago yet, and is that in the plans?
Actually, I do believe there is an evaluation of the Chicago's body-worn camera program. I believe it's done by William McCarthy. He's out of UIC, and he was involved in an evaluation. I don't know if anything's been released on that yet.
And Urban Institute, what exactly is this, Daniel?
Sure. So the Urban Institute is a nonpartisan, nonprofit research organization located in Washington, D.C. My center is the Justice Policy Center, where we focus on social studies that primarily concern the criminal justice system. And my area of research primarily focuses on how law enforcement agencies use different types of technology.
It's very interesting. We wanted to talk to you about this. To find out more information, where do we send people? Is there a website?
Urban.org, and we have a number of reports on that website right now, and we have a few journal articles that are coming out as well.
You know, I don't know if I'm the only one who does this, but a lot of times if you get aggravated with people in line or over a parking spot, I tend to not overreact anymore because it seems like everyone always has a camera ready to roll. So I don't see anything wrong with having a camera rolling on this so we can tell what's actually happening. Don't you think we're all on our best behavior when someone's recording it?
It's actually interesting because we did officer interviews, and they felt originally they were, a little reluctant to have this new tool on them that was constantly recording. But they quickly realized that when they respond to a scene, every community member there is pulling out their cell phone and recording them. So they quickly learned that the body-worn cameras offer a perspective from what they're doing, facing the community members, and they really appreciated that.
It's really interesting.
But there's always going to be a faction of people, Daniel, who see this as an invasion of privacy on some level, right? I mean, you can't avoid that. Some people will just say...
Then don't break the law. Get pulled over.
That's true, I guess. Right. So I didn't think about that, Wendy, but now I didn't think about it.
Go ahead, Daniel.
There are aspects that are worth considering in terms of privacy when, say, a domestic violence survivor, say the person who committed the crime against them, wants the footage of the officers responding to the house. So then that raises, ethical and privacy concerns should that offender have that footage, even though it is a case that pertains to them. And in terms of the privacy of many of these interactions, they're in public space. And this is, a public entity responding to a scene. So having a video account of that can be beneficial.
Very interesting study. Daniel Lawrence, Senior Research Associate at the Urban Institute. And again, Daniel, if people want to find out more information, what's the website again?
It's urban.org. And thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And then there's more show. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. You can call us or text us at 312-981-7200. Again, that's 312-981-7200. Yesterday, Wendy, was Election Day. It wasn't the big Election Day. It was kind of an off Election Day. There were some major elections that went on. And Steve, Bertrand told me an interesting story about one of those elections. Steve?
Yeah, remember the woman who she lost her job a couple of years ago because she flipped off the president as he drove by? She was
do you remember that?
Yeah. Her bike.
It was on her bike, yeah.
And I forget who she worked for. It was a company that did business with the government, I think.
And she was let go because of that, wasn't
she,
Steve?
Which, you know, I mean, she put her company in disrepute. So
yes.
She was elected to office yesterday.
How about that?
I don't think it's a big office.
For what?
The supervisor of the Algonquian District in Loudoun County, Virginia.
Oh.
So
was that a highly contested office to...
I don't know, but there probably won't be a presidential motorcade going through it anytime soon.
Now, will the president at some point flip her off just to even the score, do you think?
He may have that already. Out? I don't know the answer to that.
That's interesting.
Yes, it is. Remember, that was a huge... I mean, it's one of those stories that's really big for a day or two, and then it just fades off into oblivion. But I remember people were very divided on her freedom to do that. Can a citizen, upon seeing the president, if you don't agree with his or her politics, can you just flip them off?
You follow the lead of the person in the White House. Honestly,
I really believe
that's kind of where it's going.
Maybe it was all by design because she actually used it in her campaign. she made the...
Vote for me, you'll flip.
Yeah, she made the picture of her on her bike. Remember, there's a picture of her, the central political message of her campaign when she announced on Twitter that she was running, and the tweet was, "The cyclist who flipped off Trump's motorcade is running for public office."
See, so. I was when you told me that this morning, Steve, in my head, I'm saying strategically, do you play that up or do you not mention it at all? But she chose play it up.
You play it up because somebody's going to post this picture anyway and say, remember her.
Yeah.
So you get on your side of it where you can control it.
Yeah, right.
That's how you play. I'm going to start running for political offices.
You should definitely start running
for political offices. I'm starting to figure this. I can flip people off.
I was going to say, you've already done the footwork, right?
And the finger work.
And the finger work.
Remember how Richard Nixon used to stand up at a podium and he would do the peace sign with both hands?
Yeah.
So that was then. The new version is you just hold up one. You stand at that same podium, but just one finger up in the air.
Yeah, because who has time to hold two fingers up? It
takes forever.
Oh, my good golly.
I remember we discussed it right after it happened. And again, Steve, I want to say this was 2017.
Yeah, it was
October.
All right. So I remember our callers were completely split down the middle over whether or not you should have the right to do that. You know?
Right.
Go on, say it, Steve. You can say it.
Well, she wasn't charged with the crime, so she had the right to do it.
I don't think it is a crime,
no,
is it?
No,
but she was
there
fired.
Is a crime.
She was fired because it made her company look bad.
And I remember back then, too, that I said a company has a right to do anything. You're there to represent them, and
true.
If it makes them look bad...
True.
So I've got the vote totals. 99% of the precincts reporting, she got 52.4% of the vote. You know, which isn't bad, but she beat an incumbent Republican.
Oh.
She beat him by one.
Well.
Yes, she did.
Maybe four or five.
But it looks better if it's one, Steve.
So it certainly did work for her. I don't know that the being on the Board of Supervisors in Loudoun County pays as well as being a marketing executive.
Oh, maybe.
We'll see.
It's something. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll give you some news. We'll come back, and there's a lot more show ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Boy, Dane Neal, I haven't seen you in a while.
It's been a while.
It's been 2 days.
Dane filled in for me while I served my one-game suspension on Monday.
Happy to do it.
Learning to behave myself, so I'm back for the rest of the week. Thanks for doing that, Dane.
I adhered to all of the Bill principles and stayed right in my lane.
Did you mention pop culture references from the mid-70s,
I mentioned obscure but valuable action figures from the 70s through the 80s.
Thank you for doing all that. Appreciate it.
We both did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, thank
you.
We missed you.
All right, so every other Wednesday, Dane comes in and we talk about the world of food. And this is a special time, Dane. Please explain.
Well, you know, you can tell I'm a little out of my element, right? I'm a little uncomfortable. Typically, I'll bring in things that are always delicious, but usually not in the kind of healthy category. You know, whether it's like barbecue,
healthy schmelthy.
Right. I mean, that's my theme song. Got that T-shirt on. Not today though, because today, this entire month is National Healthy Eating Month, and today is specifically, if you're going to pick one day out of the month, say I can't do it all.
Yeah.
Sort of like the smoking with the patch. You know, you just don't want to go cold turkey.
Sure.
You just want to go unhealthy. Today is National Healthy Eating Day. And so I thought...
I already blew it. I mean, you should have told me.
It's never
before
too late. It's only 11 o'clock.
I got
Wendy,
a banana with me as sort of like a like a physical example of my commitment to the observance of the holiday.
If we're holding true to it being National Eat Healthy Day, what should we be eating?
Oh, well, I think we all
list
know.
Is too vast.
See, this is the thing, is like it's you try to throughout your life shelter your from things that make sense that you could probably be feel guilty about. So
yeah.
And it's that whole ignorance. I don't even want to hear it. But I think we know, fruits, vegetables, there's no diet out there that ever says eat less of those.
Right.
So fruit, vegetables, maybe a little bit of exercise while you're eating, it will be a choking hazard.
Sure. Sure.
But I decided, to kind of for those people out there said just can't do it. I can't do it in the end. They aren't going to start. Is that like what are some of the healthy fast food options?
Oh,
healthy,
interesting.
And here's where we have not only a partner with our kind of reluctance to get in to the spirit of it, but you've got partners in a lot of the fast food places that have healthy options.
I give them credit because forever those two phrases were almost polar opposites. Fast food and healthy eating rarely went hand in hand. But almost all the fast food chains realized we have to do something, and most of them have done something.
Even if it's just to quiet that friend or relative that may be with that will, dismiss
sure.
the opportunity to go there because there's nothing for them.
Yeah.
So that's why you have like a salad at the place or
yeah.
And then chicken.
Be careful about the salads, though, because sometimes they add I like the Southwest salad at McDonald's, but if you look at the calories with the dressing, it's that of a Big Mac.
It's pretty high. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Is it the dressing that has all kinds of sugar?
They have this great lime cilantro dressing that they give you on the Southwest salad. And there is, if you get the grilled chicken on it, that's better. But
yeah.
The crispy ones.
It's still almost as high as a Big Mac. Uh-huh. Wow.
I think chicken is one of those things. If you look, whether it's the grilled nuggets at Chick-fil-A, whether it's,
those are good, actually.
Some of the selections at Chipotle, whether it's grilled chicken wrap at Wendy's, whether Wendy mentioned the chicken wrap at McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, that's back.
That they're bringing back. Chicken is one of those things. And I think it lent itself. The fact that, it is Healthy Eating Month, as we all know. And then a lot of these different places are trying to step up their chicken game, which led
sure.
to the chicken shortage, which led to the controversy of the Popeye chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I got to experience. So
is this your first one?
It's a lot of people's first one. So here I can shepherd them through the experience, at least from my perspective. And I'm typically jaded and cynical. So we went on Vivian, our 8-year-old. She absolutely loves Popeye. She mm-hmm. is a devotee of Popeye's. And so we were there to get the Monday bucket special. And the line was all the way out of the drive through into the street. And the line was out the door. And so because we're dumb. So we're like, geez, like usually the bucket special. So she's like, well, it must be because it's the bucket special.
Right.
I said, I've picked up the bucket special. There's usually not this many people here. Something else must be going on. And so then the light bulb and it was the sandwich. So we got into line and it was a good half an hour wait in the line. The interesting part about it is there's conversations of like, have you had it? I haven't had it. Oh, I tried it.
Some this other is guy. With strangers? This
Total
is people that you don't know just wanting to talk chicken sandwich with you?
Once you're in a line, whether it is, ready to storm through the door on a Black Friday through Walmart and get that one television.
Yeah.
Or whether you're in a protest of some kind.
There's a kinship that builds among the people in line.
You've got this like, I'm here for this. So I think the lines of communication. Communication wide open. And so we're all there. And so we're waiting in line. Have you had it? I haven't had it. I heard it was good. I went to this place. It was closed. All that kind of stuff. Plus.
Wow.
Plus, you think to yourself of all of the similar kind of phenomenon, craze situations that have happened in mm-hmm. the past, whether it is the Black Friday or whether people, waiting for, my wife brought up, well, wasn't there something like this with Beanie Babies or like the Cabbage Patch Kids or different toys or some kind of things that causes people to kind of wait in line for a long time. So we waited and somebody said that they'd had the Chick-fil-A sandwich. Then it was better, and someone else said no. And so,
did you guys exchange numbers so that a year from now you can call each other up and go, can you believe it's a year? We got to get back together. This
I
is
felt
insane.
A little, because as we were walking out to the parking lot, there was two different groups of people that were with, and we did exchange those kind of, not like, hey, I'll call you, but it was kind of like, hey, good luck, man.
Enjoy
good,
your sandwich.
Good talking to you. Right, there was
this. Bye, Jeremy, my chicken friend.
If that line would have only been 45 minutes longer, they would have been at Thanksgiving, I
probably
think, this year.
Yeah. So is it worth that. Wendy was just saying that she just got one off hours. She went at 4 o'clock. A very wise move.
Yeah, because there are only 6 people in the drive-thru.
Nice.
Line.
Is it worth the hype? I can't imagine it being worth really anywhere good. Near the hype.
It's a double-edged sword, Bill, because once you tell the world or the world tells the rest of the people in the world, this is the most amazing sandwich. It's worth waiting in line for. Yeah. It's all of those things. I don't think anything can lead up to those types. And maybe I'm the wrong example because I've had the opportunity through the stuff that we do to eat some really good stuff.
You've had chicken sandwiches in the past?
All over the world. Some of the best chicken sandwiches known.
I can't believe that.
Known and even unknown.
That's incredible.
To man. You know, so you're thinking, okay, well, what is the best thing I could ever imagine?
Right.
And it wasn't it, you know, but it was like a good chicken. Here's the thing.
Did
about
you go spicy or mild?
I went spicy. And I don't know if that was the right thing to do, because maybe that's not its, you know, its intended and pristine
spicy's better
form. It was pretty good. It was actually pretty spicy, but you could see the workers were feverishly trying to put these things together because they had sort of an assembly line. You know, so I don't know if it's the same one that you'd get if somebody could carefully put it together.
I can't imagine anything from the world of fast food being worth a 45-minute wait. Any fast food restaurant I've ever eaten at, if somebody said to me, you can have it, but you got to wait 45 minutes, I go, I'll find something.
And that was the fascinating part, because when we got in line, and normally I'm like, no way, why would I want to do that?
Right.
But, you know, part of me is like, well,
it adds to the mystique.
When are we going to? He's like, we could always come back. I'm like, it won't be here. I said, all I've ever seen is signs that say it's out. It's not.
No, they're back forever. And I do have to say, if I could please put a warning out there, cut it in half. And either split it with someone,
yeah,
or eat half and save.
Too big?
Isn't it? It's
well,
really
see,
filling.
See, what Wendy's doing here is that same, just like that commercial that says, if you lose too much weight, maybe back off.
Right.
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 So Wendy's true. Saying,
it's too big.
Because it's, and there you have it. Hmm. So here's what it is. It's good. Ours was, Esther's was a little spicy, so I think maybe whoever's, you know, the spice person in that line, maybe.
The yeah. mayonnaise has the spice on it, so maybe she had more
maybe
mayonnaise.
Maybe more mayonnaise, but it is big, so it's, you know, it's really big.
Is Popeye's a publicly traded stock? Has their stock gone up dramatically in the last couple of weeks? I wonder if this affects
Well, I don't know
of,
why it wouldn't, but we, would that was to. Another thing we contemplated in the line is how could there possibly be a chicken shortage when Aldi's, right. right, seems right. to have plenty of chicken, right. and all these other places have
yeah.
chicken too. But it is really big, and then also it's a really great value. Chicken is typically pretty expensive, and for $3.99 for a sandwich like that,
right.
I think it makes you
it's
feel...
It's cheap.
Yeah,
I
right?
mean, I'm sorry, it's $2 cheaper than a Chick-fil-A.
Oh, wow. That's a huge difference.
They're trying to undercut.
Like a buck,
I think it's a loss leader. I think they're hoping that you're going right. to buy a soda and some yeah. fries, and they yeah. can just, you know, kind of increase the margins there.
So it wouldn't it be a better move for you to say to everybody, the sandwich is not that good, because then you know you have a shorter line next time you go for one. I know that's a weird strategy.
The national phenomenon.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, that, here's where that, you were going, Bill, and these all of these things came up in that 40-minute wait where, well, maybe once we get up there, we should buy like 40 of them and then just go to the people in the drive-thru and charge
them
an extra dollar.
Oh, you know
wait.
What happened to the kid with the Krispy Kremes? He was driving to get Krispy Kremes and they said, don't do it anymore.
You got to cease and desist. But
aren't they working a settlement
out with
them?
Now they've reconsidered that. I don't know if you know that or not. But yesterday they reconsidered and said it was a good thing.
I thought they were going to offer them a franchise or something.
Oh, were they? Yeah.
That's a little thing in the business called leverage. You know, and then you don't want to make people. Because if you're just out there trying to make people happy.
Right. That's it. That's yeah. what it comes down to. Dane Neal is here. He makes people happy. That's what he does. 312-981-7200 if you want to chime in. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Dane, guess what? We're breaking the world record for saying the word healthy on the radio.
I'm just saying, that's no coincidence.
No.
That's fate.
Wendy had a healthy read, I had a healthy read, and now you're talking about National Healthy Food Day.
Yes, and we're going to get away from like the healthiest of the unhealthy foods, you know, the fast food stuff. Chicago has got a great amount of restaurants that cater to people that want to have a healthy lifestyle.
We do, don't we?
I
we
think
really
so.
Do.
I mean, that's what people say.
Yeah.
I'm not aware that...
I drive past them, but I've seen them.
We're right, exactly. We go Zoolander. So there's 16 of the best healthy restaurants in Chicago. We're not going to name all 16, but we'll name some. Left Coast is number one, and Fast Casual Restaurant. West Coast, you think about this. You know, Chicago's got a reputation for so many things. Great architecture,
mm-hmm.
sports.
Mm-hmm.
Rampant crime,
mm-hmm.
occasionally political mm-hmm. corruption, you know, whatever.
Every now and then,
we
yeah.
own it, and we're proud, plus great food.
Right.
We're a great food scene, but not necessarily healthy, whereas on the left coast, you know, you think of California, they're kind of more into that
stuff. Well, your Chicago foods that are, you know, famous nationwide, if not worldwide, are all it's pizza and it's Italian beef and it's foods like that, not the ones you would consider healthy normally.
You would consider, but right? I think everything in moderation. You've got True Food Kitchen, which is in River North, is actually the menu is built on Dr. Andrew Weil's anti-inflammatory principles.
Oh.
So if you're into that, lettuce has got a place called Beatrix, you know, where they've got meatloaf, turkey, meatloaf, sweet potato, greens. So you can have some of the comfort foods you appreciate,
yum, right?
But built in a different way. And then Chicago Raw, and I've had them on before. If you're looking for the liquid diet, and not the liquid diet that you and I, well, and Wendy, I'm sure as well, enjoyed in high school and college.
Oh, right.
Which was that? Where you can go on a liquid diet, it boosts immune system, natural smoothies containing greens, fruits, and all that. And then poke is another one, too. So Aloha Poke.
I see
poke
a lot works of those lately.
Yeah, where you got the
fish. I thought it was poke.
No, it's poke.
Poke. Poke.
Oh, they're owned by Jack K, Wendy, from 227. She owns all those. I never saw
did she
those
have a catchphrase? What was it?
Mary.
It wasn't hey, 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 because that
no,
was
that
rerun.
Was rerun. Yeah. I never saw one of those places. I know they were prominent in Hawaii, but all of a sudden, they're popping up all over the place.
Yeah, a friend of ours who's actually going to be out with us next summer is Sam Choi. He's like the godfather of poke. He's like the most famous chef in Hawaii and a big proponent, as you can imagine, of that. But it's sweeping all over the place. Yeah. People are loving it because it's fresh fish, it's rice, it's all sorts of things, very healthy.
Yeah.
And getting more popular. So now here, again, this is a concept that was out in California. Trio Eatery and Juice Bar, fresh casual concept in River North, is here now. They've got three food bars. Mediterranean Bowls, now the Mediterranean diet, when I spent time, we talked about it, in Portugal, I felt like, I was only there for just a few days, but yeah, I felt like if I was eating this on an extended period of time, I would lose weight.
Yeah, I would imagine.
There's a lot of fish. It was right. A lot of, you know, octopus, dates, oh, you know, some fruit and some other things.
All together? The foods you just mentioned,
I mean,
or separately?
On a plate. Yeah, they were just all, it wasn't everything. It was hamburger helper together kind of thing.
I thought they built like a little volcano for you built out of those foods.
Oh, that would be
that
killer.
Would be outstanding.
Yeah, well, that would be. Anytime you could build in a little razzmatazz.
What's the thing? You were talking about all the juice bars and stuff. So I was at one in Water Tower Place. And they made something, it looked really good, and they made it for me, and then it made my face hurt, and then I told them that, and they said, it's supposed to, that means it's working. Is that legit, or were they just messing with
me?
Well,
I think they throw that in, where you try to say, if anything is happening that's negative, then you just tell people, that's the way
it's supposed to be.
Oh, good.
I don't know what it was, but like all of a sudden, my face got really tingly, and then I went up front, I go, I don't know what you put in this, but it's making, and they just nod, and they go, yeah, we get that a lot. You're supposed to have that.
Were you eating like a pufferfish or something?
Yeah, it was a pufferfish shake.
So they've got a salad bar with all sorts of super fresh stuff, and they're going to bring in, so we'll be able to try it a little bit later on in the program. You guys can try it and see what you think. Chicken shawarma.
I love chicken shawarma.
Rice, some good chickpea stuff. Salad, tomato, cucumber
love
salad.
Love that.
Traditional hummus, tabbouleh, harissa hot sauce, garlic sauce. There's going to be a bunch of things. And then they've got a bunch of different juices, and not just the normal kind of here's your orange juice. We're used to that.
Yeah.
Get that at Old Country Buffet.
Right.
You've got a bunch of different juices and combinations thoughtfully prepared so that you come back wanting more.
How come most of the healthy food that you've mentioned has origins elsewhere? You would think some of it would be homegrown, but almost everything you just mentioned is from some other part of the world.
I don't know. Is it something we're doing wrong? Because then again, when it was National Pizza Month, we felt really great about ourselves.
Sure did. Happiest day of my life.
And then when it's healthy time, and I think what it is you just have to, you can't just live on one thing.
That's the key, isn't it?
I think, right, is that the lesson to be learned?
Yeah.
Is that you should build in, so every November, and one day in November,
mm-hmm,
maybe it's the 6th,
mm-hmm,
you can pick your day, mm-hmm, there's no rules here, eat healthy. Because that's...
All right, I'll do it.
Well, you know, right now, Wendy's well aware of this, but I don't know if you are. I go twice a year, I do this thing where I try to eat things that are only healthy for me, and I stay away from sugar and no alcohol. I eat the way I'm supposed to eat all year round.
You do, and this
I'm
is
in the middle
for,
of one
for
now.
For the listeners that may be jaded, cynical, skeptical, whatever, Bill actually does it, and he adheres. There have been times where I have brought in enticing
dishes,
and he's got steely reserve.
I don't break it all. I play it by the rules for the 50 days. And I honestly feel so good when I'm going through this. And then you go, well then why do you go back to sugar?
Is it almost too good, Bill, where you're like, nobody deserves
to feel this good? No, it's just like everything seems to be working better during that period. And then I always wonder, so why would anyone go back to sugar? And I guess the answer is because it's just so delicious.
Because it's good. Remember when you guys did this, and this was one of those Bill days, and I think you guys were at Del Rey's Chicken Basket.
Oh, yeah, for your birthday, and you didn't eat a cake that someone brought for you.
No,
oh,
I did, because oh, oh, right. My that birthday the day is the day that I can go off of it.
You could go off the health wagon.
Yes.
And he went nuts with the sugar.
Well, you can feel the sugar traveling through your body. Like, from your mouth, you can feel it going down Route 83 and turning left. And
it would be Route 66 when we were at Del Rey's.
Right, right, because that's where it's located, yes. True.
That's true.
But it's so funny how when your body doesn't have it for that long, you know, that 7 weeks plus, it gets used to not having it, and then all of a sudden you reintroduce sugar in your system, and your system goes, what are you doing?
Well, Bill, you have a lot of willpower, and you've been committed to that, but we know that inside you're suffering.
Yes.
And so
silently.
So Trio, what they also do is they try to make things that are tasty and good, mm-hmm. so that you can kind of be healthy, mm-hmm. while you're eating things that you like. So homemade clean dressings, fresh pressed juices, and all that kind of stuff. And they're at 840 North Orleans, and we do have for the listeners a $25 gift card too, so they can get out there and try some.
And
of
all the listeners have to share that one gift card, Dane. How are we doing?
Well, they'll have to work it out themselves.
Pick a number, caller. Let's just do it that
16.
Way.
16.
Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
312-981-7200. What do they score?
They're going to get a $25 gift card to Trio Eatery and Juice Bar, new to the Chicago area, and all about helping people celebrate and embrace Healthy Eating Month.
Very nice.
If I could do a drive-through or go in a place and get like a bowl of steamed broccoli, and maybe, I mean, if I could just go do that, I really would eat mm-hmm. that. It's just
why can't you do that? You can do that.
Where am I going to go? Where are you going to tell me a drive-through is going to give me that?
Oh, you mean like a fast food setting?
The guy hands it through the window.
But
thing.
Isn't that a portion of the fast food restaurants that's missing in this environment? Like, I know, like Panda Express, I could get steamed broccoli if I wanted, but just a few little healthy choices.
Wendy, there was one that opened, and I don't remember the name. I want to say Life Kitchen. Is that one of the
So
that
places.
Opened in Evanston, and everybody was so excited because it offered exactly what you were describing. And it died a slow death. It just went away as soon as they... Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. For me, I'm kind of close because if people put it... Like, if Esther makes something, she puts vegetables on the plate, I will eat them. I will enjoy them. I'm fine with that. It's just I would never go out and seek it out myself or get it myself. You know, if it's at a restaurant and it comes as part of the dish,
yes,
I'll eat it and I'll enjoy it. But I just won't do it myself.
The effort is the part that crushes
you,
right?
That's the disconnect.
Yeah, though. I get it.
Well, it's just it wouldn't be that one item. Like, I'll go home and sometimes microwave a thing of Brussels sprouts or have a can of green beans.
Why, were you bad that day?
Yeah. No, because I like it.
All right.
Maybe some radishes while I'm waiting. I like that stuff. It's just... I don't keep
radishes.
That stuff on hand. I love radishes.
The big radish lobby just hasn't done its work because I'm thinking...
You're missing out.
What was that? The rhubarb people. There's some work to do.
I don't like rhubarb, I don't think.
No. All right. Hard to shop for.
What color were you looking for, 16?
16.
Jasmine's off today. Ashley's like, why couldn't you have picked a quicker number?
Oh, that would have made more sense, right? I mean, color number half.
Yeah, no.
No.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Dan, get out there and be
happy, healthy
people.
Food day to you.
Yes,
I know that you'll be having kelp for dinner.
I have, as you do
every year.
And as you mentioned, coming up this week, Mario Andretti's going to be there, and he oftentimes would race against Cale Yarborough. And Cale, in honor, has switched the C to a K.
Oh, in honor of National Health Day.
Yeah,
that's excellent.
It's short of a tattoo. That's the best you can do.
That's excellent.
Ashley, do we have a winner? The name is Bob. Where's Bob from? Bob has won. He's from... We don't need to talk to him. Just what town... Bob has won. What has he won?
Bob's won a $25 gift card to Trio, and they are at 840 North Orleans, and so we'll get his name, hook him up, not only with a great opportunity to go check out a new place, but some healthy food.
He's from Chicago, so that'll be a convenient trek.
Oh, that's even better.
Do they have couscous?
I'm sure.
I love couscous.
If it's healthy, then they got that.
Wendy, your extremes are amazing to me.
I know, it's weird.
You're either extremely healthy or extremely not healthy. There's like no middle ground almost.
Welcome to my world. There really isn't. You
there
know
isn't.
Me. There's not much middle ground with me.
Yeah.
It's one way or the other.
Yeah.
But at least she's got both sides, though.
Yeah, I guess it all averages out, doesn't it?
It's mostly bad.
Yeah.
Is it?
I mainly lean towards
good?
The bad.
That's well, the bad is, I mean, it's not
more
only
fun.
Easier to obtain, but it is, as Wendy said, more fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, get out there. Fruits and vegetables, they're your friends. that you've wronged so many times in the past.
They're
ready.
You're going
to
be at a showing of VeggieTales at at some theater tonight, right?
I will be. I'll be the third cucumber over from the left. You can sort of see me, even with the makeup, green face. I'll be there.
That's fun to watch.
Perfect. Dane. Thank you so much, Dane. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's WGN Radio. And we are going to check out some news with Eric Rung. It's news time right now. Hey,
thanks,
baby,
Eric.
They're playing our song.
That's what. Well, good call, Wendy. I knew the song. I just didn't know what it was. Who performed this?
I can't remember.
Was this a Wonder?
I should know it. Who'd you say, Bill?
I don't know who it is.
The Buckinghams.
Oh, it's the Buckinghams. Of a drag fame.
Yes, or Canada Dry, which I always thought it was.
Yeah.
Canada Dry, the best ginger ale in town.
Did you
Canada
really,
Dry.
You really thought that's what it was?
I thought it was Canada
Dry.
That's
adorable. That's adorable. Wendy, I have found, you and I have discussed this before, there's a website called bestlife.com, and every once in a while they publish strange but true facts.
I love these.
Some of them are strange. I think all of them are true. I don't think you could call your article strange but true facts if they weren't strange and true.
You know what I want our specialty to be with this midday radio show that
what
we
is
have?
That? Tell me.
We are your radio clickbait.
Oh, I like that.
Because really, I fall for these things online all the time.
Yep.
I want to share them with people. Yep. I know you do too.
Here's our chance. This is our chance. Now, this first one, remember everybody listening, these are strange facts and they're also true. Some of them are more strange than others, but they're all equally as true, I believe. I didn't see all of them. There's over 3,000 of them, Wendy. You want me to do all 3,000?
Yeah.
I'll just do them one
we'll
at a time.
Bring it down the stream.
See how far we get with it. This one I'm going to ask you as a question. It's presented as an answer, but I want to see what your answer would be to this. Let's say you got into a car and your goal was to drive to space. So I know this is hard to do because most cars just drive on land. But if you wanted to drive to space and you went at the speed of 60 miles an hour, how long would it take you in your car to drive to space?
I don't do math. This is the worst story problem ever.
Well, it's tough because in your head you kind of...
5 light years.
You think it would take 5 light years. So you get in your car today when you're going home. Instead of going to where you live, you go, you know what? I got time to kill. I'll just drive into space. So you aim your car straight upwards. You said it would take 5 light years to get into space from 60 miles an hour?
No, I don't know. 60 miles an hour?
Yeah.
It would take a long time.
It would take less than an hour.
Where do they determine where space begins and Earth ends?
Well, the simple math on that would indicate that space is then, if you're going at a speed of 60 miles per hour, that space would be 60 miles from the surface of the planet.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is. If you're driving for 1 hour, they're saying it would take an hour.
I know, but 60 miles up.
That's space. You're in space. Yep. You don't think so?
I don't know.
How far do you think space is?
1 million miles.
No, it's not 1 million miles. Oh, no. No, you could take the red line there and get there in 45 minutes. They don't tell you that in the ads. It says here, if you got in your car and turned on the ignition and drove up into the sky at 60 miles per hour, and people who are listening, please don't do this. These are professionals who have tried this. It would take just an hour to get to outer space. This, according to astronomer Fred Hoyle. Are you going to tell me Fred Hoyle's wrong?
No, it's 62 miles.
Yeah, to space. That's how fast it is to get to space. 62 miles.
Yeah, but that's the very just innermost.
That's the tip of space.
Yeah,
that's the very tip of space. Of course, that is. It says if you could drive a vertical angle and all, but it's fun to think about. Was that fun to think about?
Gave me a headache.
It did? All right.
No, I find that astounding, Bill, that space is only 62
space is
miles.
Closer than you think.
It's 100 kilometers away.
Yeah.
That is not far enough, but that's just the very beginning. That's not, you know, where the planets
right. Yeah,
are.
There's no, you won't run into a single planet that close by.
No, you won't.
No, the planets are way up there. That'd take a few hours to get to the planets, probably.
That is, where the planet's boundary ends and the suborbital space begins.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's fascinating,
honestly. That is both fascinating and true. All right. Here's another one. Tell me what you think of this. Children of identical twins are genetically siblings and not cousins. Now, I have a fault with this one, because let's say what they're saying is true. So you have two identical twins. They can be brothers or sisters.
No, they can't.
No, not both. But if you're identical, okay. You could be two brothers or two sisters.
Okay, thank you. You really worried me.
So let's say those two hypothetical brothers do, in fact, each have a child. And according to what they're saying, they're genetically siblings, not cousins. I say no to that because there's some other person in the equation.
Right. They've married someone different.
Unless they also married identical twins.
Yeah, this is wrong.
I think that one's wrong. How long would it take those identical twins to get into space, Wendy? Do you know?
1 hour.
1 hour.
If they were going 60 miles an hour. There's no explanation, because that's not true.
It explains it. Do you want to hear?
Yes.
Cousins whose parents are identical twins share 25% of their DNA, instead of the usual 12.5%, while full siblings share 50% of their DNA. Half siblings share 25%, and that's why, though children of identical twins are legally cousins, they are actually genetically equivalent to that of half siblings.
Okay, but that's not a sibling.
I don't think so either.
I mean, it is, and I'm not for blended families out there,
right.
But this implied that they were the real deal.
Right, and I don't think they are.
I agree.
So that one, I'm going to say, is semi-fascinating and not as true as I'd like it to be.
Well, no, if they're saying that they're siblings, they're using the half, you know, if a parent if a mom has a kid with one father and then a different kid with the other father,
right.
They are half siblings.
And that's what happens on soap operas a lot.
Yes.
You see that on soap operas, not so much in real life, but on your general hospitals or your One Life to Lives, that's going to happen more often.
That happens on soap operas a lot,
yeah,
too.
You do get a lot of the trumpets of doom. How about this one? Tell me if you think this is either fascinating or true or both. Prisoners of war in Canada during World War II did not want to leave.
Well, it has to be true.
It has to be true.
Because it sounds so
right. It sounds like
false.
Well, if you were a prisoner of war, you'd want to get out as soon as you could.
Why didn't they?
Because Canada's a very pleasant place. Very pleasant. The people are nice. They've got as much maple syrup as you want. Someone's always playing hockey. There's always a hockey game on. Of the 35,046 German soldiers, sailors, airmen, and potential insurgents that were incarcerated in Canada during World War II, a whopping 6,000 did not want to leave after the war ended in 1945. This according to Canada's Military History magazine. At these Canadian camps, prisoners were given paying jobs and were able to enjoy handball, boxing, wrestling, gymnastics, tennis, skating, and more activities.
That sounds right up your alley.
This sounds like a country club.
It does.
I'd belong to that. I wonder what the dues were to go to this jail. There was also mutual respect and trust between the guards and the prisoners. Shockingly, some guards would even loan prisoners their rifles so that they could go hunting.
Well, look at that.
We might want to re-examine that policy. I'm not sure that was in their best interest of lending some of the prisoners weaponry. But, you know, Canada, like I said, very polite. It's no wonder that one prisoner referred to his time there as, and I quote, the best thing that ever happened to me.
Interesting.
Yep. Here's another one, Wendy. A cornflake in the shape of the state of Illinois sold on eBay for $1,350. Money well spent, by the way.
That is stupid.
In 2008, two Virginia sisters found a cornflake that was shaped exactly like the state of Illinois and sold it on eBay for $1,350. Monty Kerr, the owner of a trivia website from Austin, Texas, was the buyer and explained that he wanted the special piece of cereal for his traveling museum.
You know, I could take a cornflake and bite it into the shape of any state you want.
You'll do that? What do you
charge? How much was it? $100,000?
$1,350.
Oh, I charge $100,000. Really? That's crazy.
Which of the states is the hardest to bite into the shape of a state?
Minnesota.
Yeah, I can see that. That would be a challenge. And Hawaii, because some of the islands are so small.
Yeah, but then you'd put the little pieces on their own.
No, you're right. All right, let's take a break, and then more facts that are both true and amazing. Wait, are those the two?
No. what are they? They're amazing, and they're also
amazing
true.
Amazing and true.
Yeah. All right. Maybe, because there's some that we're doubtful.
Quibbling with. All right. More after this.
Yeah-da-da-da.
That was beautiful, Wendy.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to change my ringtone to you singing that.
Yeah-da-da-da.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're talking about an article I found on bestlife.com. They do this from time to time. Facts that are incredible and true.
And I think they technically are true.
Yeah.
But we will
I'm going to juice it up a little. I'm going to say provocative and true.
Ooh.
That makes it sound more dangerous. What do you think, Wendy, is the number one cause of power outages in the United States? It's one specific cause. What do you think that cause is that causes more power outages than anything else in the country?
Air conditioning.
No. Take one more guess. You get a backup
guess. Cell phones.
Nope. Either one. Squirrels.
Oh, biting through the lines.
Yes. Yeah.
I believe that.
The American Public Power Association, your APPA, says that squirrels are the most frequent cause of power outages in the United States. That's scary. That's scary. The APPA has even developed a data tracker. Do you say data tracker? Or do you say data trucker? Called the Squirrel Index, that analyzes the patrons and timings of squirrels' impact on electrical power systems. It turns out the peak times a year for squirrel attacks. That's my favorite two words put together.
Yes, squirrel attacks
are from May to June and October to November. I had a light that was going on in my car. I think I told you this a couple weeks ago. There was a letter A with a circle around it and then an exclamation point, and it went on a couple times while I was driving. So I took my car into a shop, and he showed me. He goes, "You have some sort of a rodent is climbing inside your car. Not where I'm driving, but
right in
where the engine is located." He goes, "Look, you can see teeth marks on this wire, this wire, this wire." He goes, "And there's all sorts of like plants," like he was trying to build a nest. He goes, "Look at this. I don't want any squirrels in my engine."
That's common that cats get into your car engine.
Really?
Yeah, but they wouldn't probably put like the straw and stuff like that to build a nest. But they always scared me because I didn't want to kill a cat, because if you turn your engine on.
Oh, yeah, it would do it away.
So you're supposed to walk up to your car and kind of bang on the hood.
To scare it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But squirrels, I just think they'd go, "What do you want?"
Right. That's probably true. The amount of copper, Wendy, on the Arizona Capitol building is equivalent to nearly 5 million pennies.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. It says the copper roof of Arizona's Capitol and Phoenix is undeniably impressive, especially once you learn that it is the equivalent of 4,800,000 pennies. Did you learn this in school? Speaking of pennies, I remember they told us this in school, and I guess I believe it. You tell me if you think this is true or not. That it costs them more than a penny to make a penny. So for every penny that the U.S. Mint makes, it loses money.
Yeah, I've heard that.
That's a bad business model.
How many dollars would that be, 5 million pennies? I can't do math that high.
A lot. A lot.
A million pennies is $10,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 5 million, is that how much they said?
4,800,000.
So nearly 5 million?
Yeah.
That's $50,000.
So whoever was coming up with the plan of having money, if they knew it was going to cost more to make the money than the money was worth, wouldn't they say, "Well, we should not make this money"?
I got to Snopes that, Bill. Because
start with
I think
nickels or dimes.
Why would they lose? Why in the world would our government lose money on something? I mean, I can't find that to believe.
I don't know. Yes, somebody along the line would have figured that out, right?
Yes.
You would think they would have stopped that at some point. Singapore, Wendy, has a 15-story car vending machine.
We have Carvana.
What's Carvana?
It's a vending machine for cars. There's one on 88, like Oak Brookish. I've seen a couple of them. It's just a vending machine. It's like an upright tower, and there's a car, and you can figure online and negotiate and determine whether or not you want to buy it, and then you go to this vending machine basically, and you get your car.
That's a thing?
Carvana. Look it up.
I had no idea such technology existed. You don't put money in a slot, though.
No, God. You know how long that would take you?
And is it like?
But you could use your credit card, I guess.
You know how with candy machines, you put your money in, and then you go, jujubes, and then you push that, and then it doesn't fall all the way to the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
What if you did that with a car? You put, $35,000 down, and then the car just gets jammed in there, Are you out of luck? You got to just throw your body up against the machine and kind of jar it loose.
It's like more like a structure. You'd have to just be slamming yourself against the wall.
Right.
Look up Carvana. There are a bunch of them out there, and I think
I've never even heard of this. Why? How do I not know that that exists?
Because I'm wondering if they are out by you. You and I live at two different ends of the world.
Yeah.
And Oak Brook, Lombard, Downers Grove type of thing. There's a couple, I think, out there. Aurora-ish.
You live there, and of course I live in Portugal.
Yes.
We don't have any in Portugal. Here's one, Wendy. Now, I think the definition of this over at Best Life is true, fascinating facts. This is the reason that such a thing exists. Listen to this and tell me if it's not true and fascinating. Did you know that adult cats only meow at humans, but never at other cats? Did you know that?
I don't know that that's true.
It says it. It's on the internet.
Can I?
They're not gonna
share a cat video story with you. I know this is the last thing you ever thought you'd hear from me.
Go on.
I forgot to tell G about it too. It's sad, but it's like sweet and makes me laugh. There is a guy who's giving his cat a bath, and cats do not like water.
Yeah.
So he fills up the bathtub a little bit, and he puts the cat in the bathtub.
Yes.
And the cat is just kind of standing there, like most of his legs are covered in water, not quite all of his body, and he's just standing there, like kind of frozen, meowing. But the thing is, he's not lifting his head up, so his mouth is underwater. So he's like going, meow. It's like his mew is coming from underwater. It is the funniest thing.
Are there bubbles?
No.
No?
But it's just like frozen there. Like, what are you doing to me?
It doesn't
cats
understand
don't like water.
What to do to
No, and the guy who's
out.
Videotaping it says, you'd think you could at least lift your mouth out of the water, but no, it's underwater meows. It's so
How did the cat not drown?
Cute. Well, because it's, it wasn't completely submerged. Oh,
just enough.
But it was just, its mouth was under, its nose was above, but it was just sad.
How many times did you watch that video?
Six.
Six times. All right, so getting back to their phrase, adult cats only meow at humans, not other cats, here's how they back it up. If you have a chatty kitty, then...
That's my own business.
Wasn't that your CB handle? I remember.
My mom wouldn't let me get a CB,
she got mad.
Remember?
Yeah, your mom got mad about that.
Because I told her my handle before.
Yep. She put a stop on that quickly. Then you're well aware of the fact that cats like to strike up a conversation with their human companions whenever they want to be fed or just looking for some extra attention. Is that true? Is that when cats get vocal when they're hungry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or when they want attention. But you're probably less likely to see your feline friend interacting the same way with another cat. That's because, other than kittens meowing at their mothers, cats, and it says this in red letters to emphasize it, cats don't meow at other cats. Can that be true?
Fascinating.
I didn't know that.
It must be true.
It says it right there.
Coming up next, you can tune into WGN Extra. You can hear us talk about what's hot and what's cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men, and news coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.